appreciate your being here this evening. Glad you can come and be a part of the meeting. There's one more service of the meeting. We certainly hope you'll be able to attend tomorrow night if you can. The lesson tomorrow night will be, you'll not regret the trip. And we'll talk a little bit about heaven and what the Bible teaches us about it. Tonight, for just a little while, though, I want to talk to you about, why would God want me? Now, I know myself better than any of you do. If I can get to heaven, anyone can get to heaven. Because you don't have to sin big, you just sin, and that'll keep you from it. I just have to ask, though, when I sinned and messed up, why would God want me? What about me appeals to him? You should be asking the same questions. Why would God want you? What is it about you that God craves your fellowship, that God craves your fellowship? You know, when Satan wins a heart, God doesn't say, that's okay, I didn't want him anyway. Every lost soul brings a tear to the eyes of God and a pain to his heart. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us. You couldn't say it any more plainly than he says it in this letter to Timothy. Even Ezekiel, my least favorite book to study. I don't know if everybody gets a least favorite book to study, but Ezekiel's mine. Me and old Zeke have put some tough hours in of a night studying from time to time. But in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, the prophet is told, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God wants us. For some reason, we matter to God. There's something about us that is special in God's eyes. And yet some still feel unworthy of God's love and concern. I think sometimes, as we mentioned in an earlier lesson, we find it hard to let go of our guilt. We find it hard to let God actually take our sins away, and we believe that he has. But why would God want to save someone like me? Why would God want to save someone like you? It's not about us. There's nothing we could really do to win our way to God. It has to be about God and who he is. Why does God want me? Because it's part of his plan for his creation. There are several reasons why God wants us. I want to share four of them with you briefly this evening. I will tell you, my good friends Randy and Jeanette Chapman are here. We were afraid they weren't going to make it, but they came through at the last minute. Randy is doing a good bit of preaching around through the area, and they worship with the Dover congregation. And Randy, Jeanette, glad you made it okay. Why does God want us? What is it about it? What is it about us? Well, I'd suggest, first of all, that God wants us because he made us. I'm not a firm believer in any other explanation for the world's existence but the miracle of creation. I believe that God spoke a world into existence, that God gave that world all that it needed to survive the ravages of time. I believe that he placed in a beautiful garden a man by the name of Adam, later Eve to join him. And God was happy with what he had accomplished. He made us. My dad was something of a craftsman with wood. When he retired, He did a lot of craft-like things, and he was a perfectionist. He wanted everything to be just perfect. I don't know how many times I've seen him take a piece of furniture apart that he had put together and wasn't pleased with and start all over again with it. Well, we have some of his handiwork at our house. I wouldn't take $1 million for it. Why? Because he made it. My dad's hands framed it and made it. I treasure that. I treasure that because he can never make me another one. He passed away several years ago. My, how I miss him. But he can never make me another stool or make another swing or another deer. He just was good at that sort of thing, and his ability died with it. But God loves us kind of the same way Dad loved a product he turned out. He made it. There was a part of him in it that made Dad keep working long after he probably physically felt like doing it. And it's no different spiritually with you and with me. He made us. We are part of his creation. I would just as leave believe that one of these high winds we get from time to time through the state of Ohio would sit down in a little area with an old building fallen down not too far from it, and the spinning of that wind hitting that old building blew it apart, and when it came back together, it looked like a palace. That's not how we get nice homes, is it? We have to understand that God made us. We are the material he worked with to bring into this world those who might love him and reverence him and serve him. In Genesis 1, verses 28 through or 26 and 27, then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image he created him, in his image he created him, male and female he created them. I believe that. I believe that everything about this world, about this creation, can only be explained by God, and that he used us as the raw material for what he was going to do. In Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 28 and 29, Luke recorded, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God," and he continues then to talk about some of the things that are true, because we're God's children, because we are God's family. God made us in his image. Don't ask me what that's going to look like. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I think that there's going to be a glory about us when the time comes that has never been about us before, kind of like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But I'm just guessing. My opinion on that and $2 will get you a cheap cup of coffee in one of these little convenience stores around town. He made us. We're his handiwork. Our Father in heaven wanted children who would be a benefit from and be a part of him and he a part of them through life. He created us. He made you and me. And we don't often get rid of things that are very handcrafted, and neither does God. God's not going to turn his back and leave anyone that wants to stay with him, because he made us. But secondly, God wants us. God has something he has in plan for us, because he bought you and me. He purchased us. Now, we live in the land of the free. I know that. You know how important our liberties and freedoms are to us. And we're thankful to God in prayer. We're thankful to one another in being just simply able to build a life here on earth and to make a difference while we're here. But before God could do something with us, we could have accomplished nothing. But when God worked with us, when we become the material that He purchased, that He bought, to help us realize that He really does love us, He really does care for us, He really does want us to be a part of His spiritual family. He bought us. He redeemed us. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." What's the most expensive gift you ever received? For my daughter Judy, it was probably a little white Geo Metro that we bought to replace one she wrapped around something or else, and thankfully came out unhurt. But she got a good gift that year. She got something fairly expensive. What's the most expensive gift you've ever received? Well, I'll tell you without hesitation that the greatest gift I ever received was Jesus taking my place on the cross. Did I deserve Him to do that? No. But why would He care about me enough to let something like that happen? Because He purchased us. He bought us. We belong to Him. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we read in Paul's epistle there, "In Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood." Redemption is one of a half a dozen or so salvation terms in the New Testament that relate each of them to a separate thing that sin might do to us. For instance, sin makes us guilty, so we need to be justified. And only God can do that. Sin takes us away from God, creates a gulf between us. So we need to be reconciled. And lo and behold, Jesus took care of that, became a ransom for our Redeemer, so that we could have a special place in the heart of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul related to the church he was addressing, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Why does God want anything to do with me? Why am I important enough to God for Him to keep me in mind? Because He made us, because He bought us. And our salvation, our forgiveness didn't come cheap. It came free to us, but it didn't come cheap. God has invested a lot in you. He has invested a lot in me. His own Son's blood was enough. That was a high price to pay for folks like you and me. But that's just proof that we mean that much to Him. Why would God want me? Because He made me, because He bought me out of slavery, the slavery of sin. But why else might God want anything to do with me or with you? Well, I'll sum it up this way. He needs you and me. We don't often think of God being limited, but there are times when God chose to work under limitations. And there are times when God needs us to do something for Him that as things stand now, no one else can take care of. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to his disciples just before he would ascend up into heaven, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." God came down to this earth and stayed 30 some years, and then he went home. But there was still work to do. There were still things to accomplish. There were still souls to save. That's where we fit in part, to God's love, or for God's needing us. He wants the gospel to go throughout all of the world. But if he's going to accomplish that, if that's ever going to happen, he needs you and me to take some genuine concern in the souls of our friends and neighbors and family and loved ones, even strangers, trying to introduce them to the grace of God. You see, God's up in heaven now. Jesus is at his right hand. There are certain things he cannot do for us right now, and he can't do them on his own. He needs us to help him reach the lost. He needs us to live the kind of life and believe the depth of truth that allows us to see God for who he is, to see us for what we can be, and let him use us because he needs us to reach out. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." If I understand 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16 correctly, if it means what I believe that it means, then God needs us to be here to reach the lost. And people like Paul have lived down through the ages to help God accomplish that task. God needs us to be there to touch and to utilize others and our talents. God has chosen to advance the kingdom through his citizens. In fact, he was so careful to make sure it worked that Paul says he was willing to forgive me. And I think Paul said that almost with surprise. He was willing to save me. Why, Paul? So the rest of the world could know that if Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, as Paul reached out and shared the gospel with others, he left the truth behind that if God can use me, he can use anyone. We may not have done all of the things to hurt the church that Saul of Tarsus did. He went from being the church's worst enemy to becoming its greatest proponent. But he needs us. He needs us to be examples. He needs us to work and serve. He needs us to find our niche in the church and do our best to make that our project and do it. Why would Jesus want me? Because he needs me. Because he bought me. And because he made me. But fourthly and finally, Jesus wants us, God is wanting us because he loves us. Because he loves us. I don't know how to describe the love of God. The there's scriptures that say, in reality, I ought not to feel too bad about that, because it's hard for anyone to really understand the depth and the riches of God's love. But we can rest assured that He does love us. We may be the worst sinner on the face of this earth. He still loves us. He hates what we're doing if we're doing wrong. But He loves us. That's why He wants us. That's why He's willing to be interested in us. He loves us. In John 3 and verse 16, what we sometimes call the golden verse of the Bible, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What's that verse telling us? That God loves us enough to forgive us and to give us a home in heaven with Him when our time here on earth is through. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." If you'd like a little Bible project, I'll leave one with you tonight. Go through the New Testament and look up every passage you can find that says that God loves you in one way or another, or that says God cares for you. You might be surprised at the answer of how many there are. There's plenty. And one of the things that's important to notice about that love that God has for us is that He wants us all to be with Him. He wants us to all live with Him from now until forever. God loves the rich. He loves the poor. He loves the educated. He loves the illiterate. He loves the up and coming. And He loves the down and out. God loves all sinners. Every sinner. Each sinner. Everywhere. All the time. I'm told that before he was killed in prison, Jeffrey Dahmer, who was one of history's worst people possible, that he was baptized into Christ. I expect to see him in heaven. Unless something terrible happened between the day of his baptism and the day of his death, I expect to see him in heaven. God loves him. He loves him enough that He's willing to save him in spite of what he's done. And just as Paul was allowed to become an apostle and to be able to preach the gospel, as we said a little bit ago, because God needs hands and lips to take the gospel for God into the world. God cares. I did a lecture several years ago at Ohio Valley College about the dignity of man. And one of the things that I tried to point out in that lectureship was that God cares for us because we matter to Him. We are important to Him. We are important in the sense that He made us. We are important in the sense that He bought us, and the price was His blood. He loves us so much and cares for us so deeply that He needs us to do things for Him today that He's not in a position to do. And He loves you and me. And that love can never be shattered. We can abandon it. God won't keep us from leaving. But who would want to leave Him? Who would want to lead him. What does God want with me anyway? Why would God care? Because I matter. When God looks at me, he sees someone who loves him and cares for him. And when he looks at you, prayerfully, he sees those who love you and care for you. He just can't let us go because he really does need us. Tonight, if you've never obeyed the gospel, as we've mentioned a couple of other nights during the meeting, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. You know how God feels about you. You know what God wants for you. But unfortunately, he won't drag you kicking and screaming down the middle aisle of the church building. To find forgiveness requires that you make a choice, that you make a decision that no one else can make for you. And if you're here this evening and you've decided that you want to leave a child of God, you want to return the love and the blood of Jesus to him, why not let us baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Colton's going to be at the front. If you want to come and let us know your needs, we'll be glad to assist you. God's waiting. We are waiting. Don't you wait any longer. Come while we stand and while we sing.